Good morning. So excited to be here today. My name is David Fleming from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Originally, I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Not too far away. It's kind of maybe close to this part of the country. It's not New England, but I always enjoy coming up here. I got some family that lives in the area down in Boston, and just a big history buff, so I always love just coming up through here. Been friends with Brother Jim. Met him when he was living out in Nebraska years ago, and so we got just have an exciting message this morning. Actually, man, just really enjoyed that this morning, the praise and worship. Hallelujah. You know, I just want to mention, you began to play, and I just, man, did you sense the anointing here this morning? Man, just as soon as he began to play, hallelujah, and just kind of what I saw was as you were playing, see if I can describe. What I saw was just here in this place, it just resonated with me. God called you here, and your praises were going up. And man, the Spirit of God, you know, He uses people. Did you know that? Did you know God uses people? He uses you. Hallelujah. And so you are a carrier of the life of God. Are you born again? He uses you. And I could just, change is coming to this area. And you're part of it. This is part of it. This church is part of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're planted here. You're put here on purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Zechariah 4:6, he said, this is the word of the Lord that came to Zerubbabel. It's not by might, not by power. Do you know this verse? But by my spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It could have just kept singing all morning just as you were playing. I tell you what, enjoyed it, loved it. Just sensed the presence of God. Keep on going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep on going. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, I want to give you just a report of who I am. Been out on the road now for 9 years. I feel like I'm just getting started. Have you ever been there before? You know, you've been doing something a few years and you feel like you're just getting your feet wet, just figuring out what you're doing. That's kind of how I feel. This is my last Sunday to travel in my 30s. Next Sunday, I turn 40. But I've been waiting. I've been waiting a long time to say that. Anyway, it's a big landmark for me. I'm excited. I travel all over the country, out on the road a couple hundred days a year. Helped my friends in October down in Kentucky. Helped them out with a Halloween outreach. And so they brought me in. Do a lot of teaching on the Ministry of Helps. Been involved, like Pastor Jim said, now it's been over 20 years, my home church. Before that, my father actually pastored a church down in Oklahoma, the town of Okmulgee, Oklahoma. It's the Creek Indian capital of the United States. And so he pastored for a number of years, and then my father passed away whenever I was in high school. And when your father's the pastor, though, we saw three of them down front here this morning. You are automatically involved in the church. You qualify as a volunteer, you know. I don't know if Andrew and Brianna, they kind of help you straighten things up. And they're part of the choir, the children's choir. They don't even have to ask, do we want to be? No, you're in. You are automatically. And that's what happens, you know, when your parents are pastoring the church. And so that's kind of the way it was for me. I recognized the call to ministry whenever I was 6 years old. Recognized, accepted it. And I've just geared my life towards that direction. And so a lot of times we teach on the Ministry of Helps. I was almost headed there this morning, but just feel, just kind of during the praise and worship, felt led to go a different direction. But my friends brought me in for about 10 days, and I was working with the church, just helping them out with a different project. Also had the opportunity this summer, some other good friends of mine down in Florida, they have a youth camp for kids. Very successful. This was the 20th year of his camp. He's done really well. They had 2 weeks of camp. Week two, we had almost 1,000 people, 1,000 kids. And I tell you what, it is so exciting. We've got some great praise and worship. The Spirit of God begins to move. Kids' lives are changed. God is moving all over the country. Hallelujah. I like to give reports out on the road. Sometimes if you're in this area, you've been kind of in your area, you're kind of limited to, you know, what's going on here. But I like to tell you what God is moving all over the country, all over the world. Again, Pastor Jim referenced, I was part of the ministry team that went with Karen Jensen. I think she was just here recently. Went to Russia. Boy, it was just a dream come true. I remember growing up, whenever I was in fourth grade, hearing stories about missionaries smuggling Bibles into Russia. I would read stories about families smuggling Bibles into Russia and things like that. And so it was just a privilege just being there, just to minister to a couple of Russian churches, a number of people from Uzbekistan. Paul said this in Colossians chapter 1. He said, all over the world, the gospel is producing fruit and growing. And I'm here to tell you today, the same thing is happening even today. All over the world, these people are getting born again. They're becoming missionaries. That's the sign. When you believe in Jesus Christ, he says, God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Paul said, we beseech you on behalf of God, be reconciled to God. And just one of the hallmarks, you know, when people get born again, when they recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, they become missionaries. And so, and even these Russians, we met one Russian pastor. He's got a church organization, over 600 churches in his organization that he is over. There are churches, he's represented by churches in the country of Syria, in Vietnam, in North Korea, in China. All these places where an American passport would be difficult to get into. This is not an American gospel. This is not an American Jesus that we preach. The Bible says he came for all of us. And we were just so excited just to hear just how even the Russians, they're getting born again. See, these are people that vacation in China. They can get in and out of China very easily. In fact, we met one man who's involved in translating another of Brother Hagin's books into the Russian language. That's his business. He has a business. He does that. Vacations in China, spends 2-3 weeks a year in China. So they just have just different opportunities, different doors open up for them. And their people are getting born again, recognizing that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's exciting things happening all over the country. A few months ago, I was preaching in California, so I just kind of make my way all through the country, Kentucky, down in Florida, through the Carolinas, preaching in Ohio and in Pennsylvania. And so this is just what I do. This is life. Just go out on the road. Last weekend, let's see, where was I? Last weekend, I was over in Connecticut. Week before that, I was down in Cape Cod. Next week, I'm going to be in Butler, Pennsylvania. So that's what we do. We just travel around, just teaching in churches. So it's an honor, a privilege of being here. You know, part of the goal of what I want to do here this morning is not, I'm not here to get up a plane load of people to take you to Russia. Oh, God is moving. Let's go there. I'm not going to take you down to Florida. Here to tell you that God wants to move in your life right where you are. And the same God who's making changes in countries and in cultures around the world can do the same thing for you. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, do you know this verse? Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, right? Now see, this was radical when Jesus came. It was radical when Jesus began to speak these words. Up to that point, the Israelites were the chosen people of God. But they didn't quite know exactly who God was. If you read in the Old Testament, the Israelites attributed everything good and bad to God. Just everything is God. How do we get to that place? Well, we started out with Adam, right? God created Adam. Adam and Eve, and the Bible says that he came down and God talked to them, walked with them in the cool of the day. God would just come down and commune with man. He gave him a job to do, told him to stay away from the tree of life. And what did he do? They ate it. They went right for it. And it changed everything for us, right? Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 3 we're talking about here. And immediately, as soon as he sinned, God came back and said, Adam, where are you? He came looking for him. And Adam said, I was guilty. I was afraid. He said, well, how did you get that way? As the woman that you gave me. She was immediately. That's when we started blaming other people for our problems, right? If it wasn't for, man, I go out on the road and meet people all over the country and hear so many stories, and people are always looking to blame somebody else in life for schooling. Well, I couldn't go to school because, see, my parents, see what had happened was, and I tell you what, there are so many stories today just of what went on in families and parents, and people still even to this day blaming other people for 10 years ago, 15 years ago, right? The relationships didn't work, and so we're just, it's because of somebody else, right? Here Adam was in the beginning. It was her fault. I was perfectly fine. And then he even kind of blamed God. It was the woman, but it was the woman that you gave me. And so it thrust us into a world of darkness. Immediately, the Bible says that Satan became the god of this world. Death took over. Sickness came in. Jesus came in John chapter 10. He came for a couple of reasons. He came most importantly to pay the price for our sins. That sin that Adam did caused sin to come into every single one of us. Kept us from fellowship with God. God was now cut off from his people. So he found Abraham and he spoke to Abraham and he raised up a generation, raised up people. And so we see then through the life of Moses, God established the law, put the law upon their hearts. But even then, though, God wanted a whole kingdom of priests and kings before him. But we read about it in the Old Testament. There was only one person who could go before God for the whole people. Only one person could go into the presence of God. He was the high priest. And even then, he couldn't go in every Sabbath. He couldn't go in, you know, every time they had church. He could only go in once a year. And there were strict regulations. He had to have all the proper sacrifices, had to cover everything. You had to cover over your sins. It's kind of similar to having, you ever have a stain in the carpet? Got a big stain, you can't quite get it out. Well, what do? Man, you put a rug over top of it, right? Just go out and buy a nice rug, a fancy rug, and you just put it down. Oh, very nice. You know, and you invite people over, and they admire the carpet. But you know why it's there. You know, just leave the carpet alone. You know the stain is underneath, right? Remember years ago, just in my room, I'm the youngest of four. And I was messing with something, some kind of a shoe cleaner, and it was a black dye. And I'm on the floor. I was just a young boy. You can already picture what happened. Knocked it over, spilled it. It's black all over. It's kind of like a gold, brown and gold carpet. So I'm working frantically, you know. Didn't want to run. Tell, hey, I need some help here. You know, I'm just trying to take care of it on my own. You know, I don't want to get in trouble. So I'm sopping it up and it doesn't work. So I moved a desk over top of it. There we go. It is out of sight. It is out of mind. Okay, everything's fine again. I can't see it, you know. But then when you move rooms, you change rooms, or they come in and move the furniture around. What is this on the floor? You know, I've forgotten about it. It was months ago. And so you put a rug down over top of it. And that's kind of the way that the sacrifices were in the Old Testament. All they did was just put a rug over top of it. It was still there. God up in heaven wasn't happy with that, wasn't content with that. He said in Hebrews, he said, the time is coming, I'm going to make a new covenant. They're going to know me. I'm going to know every single one of them. I don't want to just be a part of just one man. I don't want to just have one man come before me. I want them all to know me from the least to the greatest. I want to put my laws on the inside of them. I don't want my laws, my standards to be something on the outside that they're trying to attain to. I want it to be on the inside. I want to talk to every single one of them. And Jesus came on the scene to eliminate the sin that kept us from God. But he also came to show us who the Father was. He came to reveal the Father. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And so John is telling us that the revealer of God has always been with God. This is the one. If God's going to send anybody to talk to us, it's going to be the one who's always been with God. And Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. This was radical. Up to that point, there wasn't life in the world. Let me show you a couple verses here. Let's back up. Turn with me to Romans, Romans chapter 5. I want to go back. I want to look at salvation. I want to show you again what happened. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world. Now, let me get some feedback here. Who was the one man? Adam, right? We all agree on that? Through one man, sin entered the world. Let me ask you a question. You go back. Have you ever read Genesis chapter 1 where God created? What day was that again? God created the sickness. Which day was that? Man, he didn't, did he? God didn't create the sickness, did he? God wanted man to be sick. Don't you think he'd have created him with a little bit of a cough on the first day? Don't you think he'd have created Adam with some kind of a limp? If God wanted you to be sick, don't you think it'd have been there right from the beginning? In fact, if you read Genesis chapter 1, God said, created this, oh, it was good. Created something else, man, it was good. Created this, it was good. Verse 26, chapter 1, said, let us make man in our own image. And God stood back and said, behold, it was very good. God wants you to be healed every single time. God's in the business of healing you. The Bible says right here, Romans chapter 5, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin. Sometimes I teach on healing, but just giving you just a little bite here over on the side. We know sickness is not the will of God because of what it's associated with. Death came through sin. God's not associated with sin. In fact, if you go back there and read there, God told him, stay away from the tree. Stay away. Don't do it. God is giving them warnings. God is giving them, letting them know, don't touch it. And immediately what happened? Sin came into the world. Death came. And so death spread to all men because all have sinned. In fact, Romans chapter 3, verse 10 reads, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Back in Romans chapter 5, verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned. Everyone say reigned. It says, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. See, sin came into your life. You didn't even have to sin the way Adam sinned. That's what the Bible says right here. All you had to do now was be born. Because of what Adam did, sin now came to every single person. And Paul said here in Romans, he said, because of sin, death came into the world. And all of a sudden, he said, now death reigned. Death wasn't just in the world, wasn't just part of it. All of a sudden, death took over. Immediately, if you go back and read in Genesis chapter 4, we see the effect of sin take over quickly. Cain and Abel. Even people who aren't born again know the story about Cain and Abel. What is the story? Cain feels inferior, feels a little bit of guilt there, doesn't like Abel, and he kills him. Immediately, death takes over. Becomes the nature of man. God came down and spoke to Cain and said, where's your brother? No remorse, no regret. The hardening of sin takes place immediately. Genesis chapter 4, Genesis chapter 5, we read, this man lived so long and then he died. This person lived so long and then they died. This person lived so long and then they died. This person lived so long. That was not God's plan. That was because of sin. That was because of the effect of what Adam did. If you'll keep your finger there for me, I want you to look over in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, we're being real simple this morning, just real basic, kind of setting the stage. I want you to see, though, what happened when you got born again. Another reason why we go over these verses, we're trying to go just a real simple progression here with the verses. See, we also have in mind that for you to share these verses in your life. We're not just happy just up here teaching every week just so you can hear this and say, well, that's nice, that's good. We want you to understand where the verses are. How do you find these verses? How do you explain them? Because, see, you'll run into people that I'll never meet. You work with people. You have family members. They may never come into church. Pastor Jim may never meet them, but you will. And so we want you to be proficient. So that's why we're going real simple, just real basic. How do we get there? Because, see, the issue is Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And so do you understand that that's the foundation of what we believe? And do you understand also that that is going to be an increasingly popular issue? It's an important issue. You can see it already happening in this country. People are going to be irritated with you that you believe Jesus is the only way. If it hasn't already happened, there's already movements of people just trying to say, well, let's just be tolerant just of all religions. Just however people want to get to whatever deity, whatever God, the big man upstairs. Let's just be accepting, you know. Why do we all do that? Well, no, we believe Jesus Christ is the only way. That is going to really anger people in the coming days. And so we need to know, why do we believe? In fact, I've even seen a clip of a very popular daytime talk show host. And so I'm kind of, it's a clip, I don't know how, from her show, but it's professionally done. It's not just like somebody's camera, you know. And so they're having a discussion with the crowd after the service, and the lady actually says, you can't believe Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Someone in the crowd says, no, he is, the Bible says, and so this, you know, this popular, you can't, that's not true, I believe he is a way. No, we believe John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So here we are setting the stage. Why do we believe Jesus is the only way? Because number one, in order to discuss why Jesus is the only way, we have to discuss, how come we're not going? Are we not in connection with God? Do we not have that relationship with God? No, the whole world was in darkness. The whole world was in evil, been cut away from God, separated from God. Why is that? It's because of sin. We've read that. Sin entered the world through the one man, and death through sin. So in Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. And you he made alive who were dead. Now, Paul goes on to now to tell us what it was like before you got born again. You were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, everyone say by nature, by nature, children of wrath, just as the others. This is the world Jesus came into. And it's interesting, Paul says here, says we were by nature. Sin, before you got born again, sin was your nature. Sin wasn't just something that you did occasionally. Have you ever heard the phrase, you know, a license to sin? People didn't need a license to sin. They just did it. You just automatically, you didn't have to go to a class to learn how to lie. You didn't have to learn to go to, you didn't go to a class to learn how to be mean to people. It just happened. All you had to do was just grow up and be around people. Fear came in, right? And we could probably just testify what happened before you got born again. We could all testify. Death was our nature. Sin was, that was what happened. And so that's the world Jesus came into. Jesus came into a world of death. In fact, we could say it this way, that every single person who was born, death and sin got a hold of them, became their nature. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7, all through the chapter, he says, we were in the grasp of sin. He said, we were slaves of sin. He said, sin lived on the inside of me. I was in control of sin. Whatever sin wanted to do to you, sin had a right. and could do whatever it wanted to. Sin wanted to make you sick. It could pick whatever disease it wanted to put on you. Had the right to do it. But the final triumph of sin. Have you ever seen those National Geographic shows? Maybe out on the safari. You see the animals of prey coming in, stalking their prey. You know, they want to eat too, you know. So they stalk their prey and they find it, and they find the small one in the litter, and they just kind of injure it a little bit. And then they just kind of play around with it. You know, they immediately don't go in for the kill. They kind of slow it down. They just kind of have a good time and kind of bat it around. Have you ever seen those shows? Ever heard about that? Just kind of bat it around, do whatever it wants to. I'm not really hungry right now. I guess it's thinking. I'm not quite sure. We're just going to have some fun here. And so the whole herd kind of plays with it, bats it around. And then finally, okay, we're hungry. Let's eat. Let's go in for the kill. That's the way sin is in your life. Sin, a lot of times, is just kind of batting you around. Just kind of, you're just kind of going through life, and all of a sudden, just kind of hit you crossways and hit you another way, and began to affect a relationship and affect family, and then maybe came in on your job. You know, you got passed over. But the ultimate that sin had, though, was at the end of your life. You died physically, but ultimately, sin was after you to keep you separated from God for eternity. It's what death is, separation from God. And because of what Adam did, sin had a right to every single person who was ever born. This is the world Jesus stepped into and said, "I've come that you might have life." See how radical this was? Because all the world knew before that was just death. Death was everywhere. Death was a part of everything. It affected, even today, you still see it in our society. Death affects everything that people do, you know? Been in one relationship and death came to that one. So let's just get another one, you know? We'll just start over. And then that one doesn't work. And so we'll just start again. You know, because clearly I am not the problem, right? Isn't that what we think, right? Clearly the other person, I need to find someone else. I need someone who's going to, for me, you're not helping me. You're not doing this for me, right? And society has just taught us, it's just inherent. It's the nature of death and sin. I got to look out for me. Get some mints. I don't have any with me. It's down in the car. I got one of those little plastic containers for mints. Breath mints. And so it's got two ways to open it up there. You know, one side reads to share, and then the other side reads not to share. Have you ever seen that? And so the side that reads to share, you flip it up, and it's just the smallest little part. It's just one little corner opens up. To share, you pop it up, and you shake it, and you kind of shake it, and nothing hardly comes out. But the other side is not to share. You know, me, everything for me. Oh, half of the tin opens up. The whole thing opens up. Man, I can touch anything that I want to. Which one do I choose from, you know? You pour it into your hand, the whole thing, you know, not to share. All for me. Yes, that's good. Oh, to share? Hold on, let me turn that around. And that's the way society's trying to, you know, to do for you. You got to look out for you. You got to make sure that you're not passed over. You got to, in your relationships, it's all about you. We even are familiar with Murphy's Law here in the United States, right? What is the essence of Murphy's Law? Anything that can go wrong, will. It's the definition of death. But the Bible says Jesus came. He said, "I have come." John chapter 1 says, "In him was life. And the life was the light of men." Jesus didn't just come as a show and tell, "Oh, look at what I can do. Too bad for you." Jesus said, "I have come that you," me? Yes, you. Everything I do falls apart. I've come for you. Life. See, when you got born again, something dynamic happened. Jesus was born of a virgin. That was a very key point. Let's turn. Let me show you this verse in Hebrews chapter 4. We're picking up steam here. Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says that he came and he lived as a man. Verse 14, let's read three verses here. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, who is it? Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. See, that was vital. God was looking for a man to make a covenant with, but the man had to be sinless, and no one could ever do it. No one was ever good enough. God said, I'll make a covenant with a man. All my goodness will be yours. I'll fulfill my side. I just need a man who will fulfill his side of the covenant. Nobody could do it. So Jesus said, I will become the man. Jesus, the Son of God, put deity on hold and came to earth as a man. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. You read about it in Luke chapter 4, Mark chapter 4. Sin tried to get him. The devil tried to tempt him. Didn't work. Pharisees tried to tempt him. Didn't work. Everywhere Jesus went, death was now trying to get a hold of him. Death couldn't touch him. Jesus was the first man who was ever born that death could not get a hold of. Up to that point, death got a hold of every single person. Again, we're establishing, why is Jesus the only way to heaven? This is the reason why. There's actually a couple of times in the life of Jesus, you read in the Gospels, it says that he angered the crowd and they were ready to stone him, they were ready to kill him, they were ready to throw him off the cliff. And what happened? He walked through the crowd. Why was that? Death couldn't touch him. But he didn't just come to show us what life was like. He came also to defeat death. And we're in Hebrews 2. Let's back up two chapters. Hebrews 2. We were in Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to read a couple of verses here. But we see Jesus, verse 9, Hebrews 2, 9. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. See, this is why he came. Let's look down at verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. Now, what the children is talking about is us. The children he's talking about is mankind. It says the children are of flesh and blood. He also had to take on flesh and blood. He couldn't just do it as God. He had to become a man. In order to pay the penalty for man, Jesus had to become a man. So that's why he was born in the manger 2,000 years ago. He became a man, but he lived a sinless life. It says he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those. Everyone say release. Release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hallelujah. This is the story of the gospel. So when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says he subjected himself to death. He allowed death. Death that couldn't touch him. Jesus allowed it to come. He said, into your hands I commit my spirit on the cross. It is finished. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, God took your sin, laid it on Jesus. Took your sickness, put it on Jesus. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. You have to have that picture that no matter what symptom is trying to come upon your body, you've got to have that picture that you see Jesus taking that for you. Whatever tries to come on you, you have to see Jesus saying, no, 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 I will pay the price for you. And the Bible says he released those. So picture me Picture this with me. Jesus now is dead. He's in the grave for 3 days. Death, hell, the grave, the devil. Imagine how excited they are. They tricked Adam. They've got access to every single person. The Son of God shows up. They couldn't touch him. But somehow, through a twist of events, they get their hands on him. And now Jesus is dead. Imagine how excited they are. Every man is gone. Plus, we got the Son of God. We've got it made forever. But on the third day, hallelujah, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, the spirit of him that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, because he lived a sinless life, the Bible says it was by the arm of God that he pulled Jesus out of hell. And the Bible says that he's defeated death, hell, and the grave. All of a sudden now, Jesus is now the first man that death had a hold of and had to let go. Jesus is a sign to you when he was resurrected from the dead. Jesus is now a sign to you. Death can be defeated. Life conquers death. And see, this was vital because before, nothing we could do could get us away from sin and death. Man has tried all kinds of religions, all kinds of meditations to try to get away from sin. And not only the effect of sin, but the guilt and the inferiority. And man's tried all kinds of religions and nothing works. Nothing you can do on your own will set you free from that. It is the nature of man. Sin is just all through man. There's nothing he could do to get away from it. And so then when man couldn't get away from it, then he came up with all these addictions. Well, at least if I can't get away from it, at least let me try to forget it for a little while. There's alcoholics, there's drug addicts, you know, people addicted to all kinds of things. Why? Because they just want to feel good for just a little bit. But sin just keeps driving them and keeps driving them. So they got to do more, they got to do more. All of a sudden, they go from, you know, from drinking and feeling kind of good a little bit. They go all of a sudden now at the end of their life, they got to keep drinking just to try to feel normal. Just trying to numb the pain of sin. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus was raised from the dead. He said, I've got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. When you get born again, how do you get born again? Romans 10, 9, and 10. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. When you said that prayer, immediately, death had to let go of you. All of a sudden, it's not your nature anymore. Immediately, the effect of all of a sudden life comes to you. When Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, when you got born again, that's exactly what happened. The chain of sin, the chain of death was broken over your life. Remember Hebrews chapter 2, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and release. Everyone say release. Release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. When you got born again, death was broken over your life. Sin was broken over your life. Sickness was broken over your life. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, you were translated immediately. It's not like just a simple journey. Slowly death is letting go and moving out. No, immediately when you got born again, life came in. All of a sudden the nature of God lives on the inside of you. He said, I'm going to walk in them. I'm going to dwell in them. They are going to be my people. Peter said, it's the incorruptible word of God. That seed grows on the inside of you. Every time somebody gets born again, death has to let go of another one. Death has to let go of another one. Death has to let go of another one. They goofed when they crucified Jesus on the cross. 1 Corinthians 2 says that had they known, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known that when Jesus died on the cross, it actually had the potential to set every man free from sin. The reason we believe Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven is because he is the only one who paid the price. Whoever paid the price, that's who we go through. Jesus paid the price for your sin. And he did it thorough, he did it completely, and he did it to set you completely free. You have a brand new nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All of a sudden, now the life of God lives on the inside of you, and God wants to bring life to your world. You are now a container to be passed out. God will actually use you. And God has set you in your family on purpose. He has set you in your world on purpose, on your job, in your life. He has set you in a world of death, but he knows that the life on the inside of you is greater than the death that is around you. You now can speak life to your world. You have the privilege, the opportunity to now you begin to speak life. You speak it. You begin to speak the life of God. See, you have the privilege now. You can say, I speak the life of God to my physical body. When I got born again, the life of God lives on the inside of me. Sickness has no right. Every cell, I speak health to. I speak healing to in the name of Jesus. Every organ, every tissue, every muscle, every bone, I speak the life of God to my life. And then you can begin to speak over your family. Do you have kids? Do you have family? Do you have brothers and sisters, mom and dad? Man, I just speak life in Jesus' name today. I speak life to my family. What about your job? Like your job? Don't like your job? Good job? Bad job? Man, speak life to it. Instead of driving to work complaining, man, I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder if I'm going to, man, if my boss tells me one more time, the people working for me, if they don't, I tell you, or you can speak life. I speak life to every single person. I speak life to the job. Your job can be blessed simply because you're there. Joseph, right? In the life of Joseph, he wasn't even born again in the Old Testament. Joseph was a servant. The Bible says Potiphar's house was blessed because of Joseph. Joseph was in prison, in an Egyptian prison. Joseph was blessed right where he was. God specializes not in pulling you out, right? Isn't that what we want? We want like a new start. You ever been there before? God, you goofed on my family. I don't know what you were thinking. I need a new family. I'm moving to the other side of the country, the other side of the world. I need a new family. That's what I need. And God says, no, out right where you are. I'll turn your situation around. Really? That's what God specializes in, taking you just how you are. He knows your past. He knows your experiences. He knows your personality. But he says, I've come that you might have life. The devil, though, doesn't want to let go. And so, as born-again believers, we are now enforcers of the victory that Jesus had over. You don't have to fight it. You're not trying to overcome sin, but we are enforcing it. That's our responsibility. There's a strength to faith. There's a strength to it when you got born again. Because see, the devil's the god of this world, and he does not want to give up territory. The same deception that he tries to use also works against him. But we've got to stand up. You keep declaring the name of Jesus. Sometimes you're not even sure what to pray. You just begin to speak the name of Jesus. Man, speak the life of God to your thoughts. Speak the life of God to your dreams, to your hopes, to your family. I speak the life of God because the enemy is always going to keep lying to you. He's always looking to try to get in. To turn with me here, we're starting to close here. 1 Peter chapter 5, you guys are listening good, thank you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. Another translation reads, wake up, wake up. See, so many times we just want to sit back and say, well, whatever happens, that was what God, well, I guess God wanted it to happen. God must have taken him home. And up in heaven they're saying, I guess they allowed that to happen. See, Peter's going to tell us something here. Be sober, be vigilant. He goes on to say, because your adversary, you have an adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's got to have your permission, though. If you just sit down. See, you know what the devil's goal is? The devil's goal is just to get you to a place where you're just so frustrated, you just throw your hands up and say, I quit. I quit. I can't do it. He wants you to throw your hands up and say, you know, I just don't get it. And he'll keep telling you, yeah, you just don't get this Christianity stuff. It's just not for you. Pastor Jim, of course, he gets it. He's a preacher. But you, no, you'll never get it. It's a lie of the enemy. The devil's lying to you. He is lying. He is lying. He is lying to you. He knows he's been defeated. You got to speak the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I speak the life of God to my thoughts. The devil will do everything he can to distract you from finding out what's in the Word of God. That's his goal. He uses oppression just to distract you all day long. He'll use people. Just, you ever been there before, man? You're in church. Man, church was great. It was awesome. It was fantastic, right? And on the way home in the car, something happens. Maybe the person's, have you ever been there? Am I the only one? You're on the way home and you're just, oh, you just get frustrated. You get upset and you just lost everything that you got in church. You were excited about the message. You were going to read your Bible this week. And before you even get home, you're just like, how was church? I don't even want to talk about it. You know, what did they learn? I don't know. I'm just going to go do something else, right? His goal is just to keep distracting you. Because if he can keep you from that place of you understanding that the life of God lives in me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If God is for me, who can be against me? He's going to do everything he can to keep you from speaking those verses, from quoting those verses. Whatever he can to distract you. We've been there before. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to do it first thing in the morning. And you wake up and you're running late, right? Or you're tired and you hit the snooze. And we hit the snooze. And we hit the snooze again. And like, oh, I'll read at lunchtime, right? And lunchtime is like busier than ever. Or somebody calls you. They want to go for lunch. You know, okay, I'm going to read tonight before I go to bed. And you go, you get in bed and you open up the Bible and can't even, you know, read, and you fall asleep and you say, tomorrow. The devil always try to get you to put it off till tomorrow, later. We're going to start living right next week, right? We're going to make a commitment to church starting in January. It's today. It's right now. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Don't let what he's trying to do to you come into your life. See, you can resist death. You can resist sickness. You can resist sin. It's not because of who you are. It's not because of what you've done. It's not because of how you lived your life. It has everything to do with what Jesus did for you. When you got born again, your entire slate was wiped clean. You stand before God as if you've never sinned. You've been given that. Years ago, I spent a couple months in the Czech Republic. I met a man there who he was Czech. By birth, he was actually in prison under the communists and had escaped a handful of times. And he told us the story about how he escaped. They figured out it was in a type of a work camp. And so you couldn't always tell, he said, the way, you know, who the soldiers were, somehow they got their hands on a uniform of the soldiers. Tried to go through the main gate, but they got caught at the gate every time they tried to sneak out. And then finally they realized something. The soldiers at the gate, you know, had the big machine guns. And they realized that every person who walked through the gate, the soldiers stuck the gun in their chest. Every person that came through. So the guards that worked there would just push the gun out of the way and just keep on going. Doesn't apply to me. That's So the workers come through. Soldier's not quite sure, you know, the guard at the gate. And so he just puts the gun in everybody's chest. The guys at work there just push it to keep on going. But the prisoners, when the gun was shoved in their chest, they all put their hands up. Oh, that's how the guard knew who was the prisoner, who was the soldier. Who was the prisoner, who was the guard. He says they were walking through and they got caught. Oh, man, they caught us. We put our hands up. Okay, you got to go back in. And he finally realized, they put the gun at everybody. If I just push it aside, that's exactly what he did. Got his hands on a uniform. Looked like a guard came through. They put the gun in his chest. He's shaking. He said he was afraid, but he just stared him down, just pushed it out of the way, and just kept on walking. Walk to freedom. That's what you got to do with sickness. That's what you got to do with death in your life. See, when those symptoms come on you, we all have, oh, we back down. Oh, you caught me. Oh, man. I knew the flu was going around. Oh, it came to me too. Oh, man. Potential layoffs, potential cutbacks. Finances falling apart. Oh, man. No, you gotta know in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. It doesn't have a right, but it's going to be strong, it's going to be forceful, it's going to tell you, this is what we're going to do to you. That's why it says there in Hebrews 2, not only were we set free from death, he says, but release those who through fear of bondage. There's things in our lives we're just afraid of. It's not even in our life, but we're just afraid sometimes. That's death, that is sin. You don't have to be afraid. I'm here to tell you today that fear is broken over your life in the name of Jesus. Fear of failure, fear that it's not going to work out the way you think, fear that you've blown it, you've made a mistake, fear is broken, you have been released. I know people that are just afraid of, just later on in their life, certain disease they're afraid of, they're afraid it's going to happen to them. There's a couple, they've already retired. I know them. They were telling me the story. They said, we're doing some travel now, and we want to get out there and travel now while we have the health. Because we know there's coming a time when, you know, our health is going to decline and we're not going to be able to travel. Really? There's another couple I know. Show me pictures of the grandkids. Oh, they're just beautiful. We are so afraid. What? Afraid someone's going to steal their grandkids because they are so, you know, so beautiful, so precious. They live in fear. Peter said, your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. When you got born again, fear was broken over your life. Death was broken over your life. The nature of death, the nature of fear. Sin. It has no right. You begin to speak life. And you watch. God is going to turn your life around. He's going to turn things around. You're going to have to change your story. You know what I'm talking about, right? We all have those stories. See, what happened was. See, like for me, my father passed away. I was 16. Well, see, what happened was my father. No, we're going to have to tell a different story. Because the day you got born again was the day that God set everything right in your life. It doesn't matter if you were ever taken advantage of, abused, people passed you over, people mistreated you. When God came into your life, it was the best thing that ever happened to you. What Jesus did for you more than makes up all the bad things that ever happened to you. You begin to speak the life of God. Let me show you one more verse here, Romans chapter 8, verse 2. So many verses to cover, so many ways to go, but we'll just conclude here. I think we gave you something good today. Just wanted to remind you, what happened when you got born again? You were set free. We've all got testimonies, right? Personally, I was saved whenever I was like 4 years old, saved from a life of sin and degradation. At the age of 4, so people will want to tell you, well, you don't really have a testimony. I have a testimony. It's the fact that sin used to be my nature and there's nothing I could do to get away from it. And Jesus set me free. Because no matter what you've been through, sin had even bigger plans for you. You hadn't even seen the worst of what sin wanted to do to you. And Jesus set you free. when you got born again. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Let me read that again. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I think you should write that verse down. I think you should put it on note cards, put it into your phone, put it on the fridge, put it on the bathroom. This is what you need to quote. This is what you need to claim. When something bad tries to come into your life, you need to stand up and say, the law, no, 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 no. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. You speak that over your life. Let me read this for you. I have a couple other translations here. May I read this for you in different translations? The same verse. Amplified reads, for the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, has freed me from the law of sin and death. Here's the Message Bible. A new power is in operation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a faded lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. Hallelujah. You've been set free. Here's another one I love. The Phillips translation reads, the new spiritual principle of life in Christ Jesus lifts me out of the old vicious circle of sin and death. For me, I kind of see sometimes relationships that way. You ever have a relationship like that? You just keep going round and round and round with them, you know? Keep going around. No, no, no. No, no, no. Life is on the inside of you. Begin to speak life to that relationship. Hallelujah. God will restore it. God will change it. If that's what you want, God will change that. He'll restore that to you. Here's my favorite one, the Carpenter translation. Another law, not that of sin, not even that of Moses, has released them, unfettered them, disenthralled them. Another law, do I say? I don't know why I call it a law. It is liberty. The words of Christ are spirit and they are life. Christ has said, go free. The reign of sin is over. The fear of death is gone.